Today, the wild rides continue. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. So once again, volatility continues to surge as the S&P 500 gains on Thursday, driven by rising treasury yields, despite the bulk of quarterly results suggesting corporate America is in better shape than feared. Recession fears are growing, and more broadly, the stresses and strains are showing across UK politics, oil, and investment banking. So we're going to touch on all of those in today's post. But first, US inflation, which, as measured by the Consumer Price Index, stood at 8.2% for the year to September, and not far from the 40-year peak of 9.1% during the 12 months to June, which is way above the Fed's target for inflation at 2% a year. And of course, the Fed has said it will not back off on interest rate hikes until it achieves that target. Since March, the central bank has raised rates by 300 basis points from an original base of just 25 basis points, and the Fed intends to add another 125 basis points to the rates before the end of the year, with economists expecting further hikes in 2023. As a result, the American economy could land in a 1990 style of a mild recession by the spring of next year, as unyielding inflation and the Federal Reserve's response of jumbo-sized interest rate hikes comes to a head, according to Fitch Ratings. Fitch slashed its US growth forecast for 2023 and 24, citing one of the most aggressive inflation-fighting campaigns in Fed history. US gross domestic product is forecast to grow by 0.5% next year versus a June forecast of 1.5%, Fitch said. High inflation will prove too much of a drain on household income next year and shrink consumer spending to the point it causes a downturn by the second quarter, Fitch added. The Fitch forecast came on the heels of projections by Bloomberg economists on Monday that a US recession is effectively certain over the next year. Investors, economists, and business leaders have warned for a while that the world's largest economy was on the verge of a downturn just 2.5 years after the last recession that broke out with the coronavirus pandemic in mid-2020. Citing a disappointing lack of progress on curtailing inflation, Philadelphia Fed Reserve President Patrick Hawker said he expects interest rates will be, quote, well above 4% by the end of the year, and he admitted that the Fed is actively attempting to slow the economy in order to reduce high inflation. In fact, most Fed speakers have refused to openly say the United States needs to have slow or even negative growth in order to curb inflation, stubbornly hovering around that four-decade high. Economists have accused the Fed of being slow itself to the inflation fight, and they say its move now to overcompensate for its early inaction with the most aggressive rate hikes in 40 years will almost certainly trigger a US recession. Most of the central bank's senior officials refute that assertion. The R word remains a dirty one across markets, and each time a Fed speaker suggests that even remotely risk assets tend to suffer, said John Kidlove, partner at New York energy hedge fund Again Capital. Harker was making little attempts to disguise his thoughts about a recession today by outrightly saying that the Fed needs to slow the economy. The remarks came as fewer-than-expected weekly jobless claims pointed to strength in the labour market, heightening concerns about ongoing wage growth. Demand for labour remains quite strong. It remains the case that workers who are let go are still having a relatively easy time finding a new job, Jefferies said in a note. So as a result of that, the S&P 500 fell 1%, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.5%, and the Nasdaq was down 0.9%. But the 10-year yield jumped to fresh 14-year highs as investors weighed up for those fresh remarks from Federal Reserve officials calling for the central bank to remain the course on rate hikes. It ended at 4.233, while the 2-year was at 4.6122, still in recession inversion. Tech stocks managed to cut losses but remained under pressure as rising treasury yields make growth corners of the market, including tech, less attractive. Tesla, meanwhile, fell more than 7% after a miss on third quarter earnings, though some on Wall Street touted optimism ahead for the EV maker after management said that they are considering initiating a stock buyback. It landed at 207.28. We are encouraged that management is considering a $5 to $10 billion buyback and believe it's a constructive use of cash, Oppenheimer said, after lifting its price target for the stock to $436 from $432. We believe depth of demand is outstripping most investor expectations, even when considering a looming recession, it added. The broader market was also pressured by a fall in travel stocks as investors weighed up quarterly results from airlines and railroad companies. American Airlines reported quarterly earnings that beat estimates as travel demand continued to recover, but its shares fell more than 3%. Railroad stocks were hurt by Union Pacific's weaker outlook on carload growth and stock repurchases, which offset the quarterly result that beat the top of expectations. And meanwhile, AT&T rallied 7% after the telecom reported better-than-expected earnings and revenue, and lifted its outlook on full-year earnings to $2.50 from $2.46, as previously reported. But in the UK, the political drama continued with Liz Truss quitting on Thursday after the shortest, most chaotic tenure of any British Prime Minister, forced out after her economic programme shattered the country's reputation for financial stability and left many people poorer. The Conservative Party, which holds a big majority in Parliament and need not call the nationwide election for another 2 years, will now elect a new leader by October 28th, Britain's fifth Prime Minister in 6 years. In fact, this is just the latest round of chaos, which can be traced right back to the anti-European populist faction, which led ultimately to the Brexit vote and years of, frankly, nonsense. So the question is, are there any candidates which have more normal capabilities? In the meantime, the UK's position, economically speaking, remains under a cloud, despite the fact that the election is unlikely before 2025. The immediate leadership contest is likely to pit ex-finance minister Rishi Sunak against Penny Mordaunt, but could also return of Boris Johnson, who was ousted as prime minister in July when his ministers resigned en masse to force him out of office. The sight of yet another unpopular prime minister making resignation speech in Downing Street and the start of a new leadership race underscores just how volatile British politics has become since the 2016 vote to leave the European Union. Speaking outside the door of her number 10 office, Truss accepted that she had lost the faith of a party and would step down next week. The pound rallied.
I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party. This morning I met the chairman of the 1922 committee, Sir Graham Brady. We've agreed that there will be a leadership election to be completed within the next week. This will ensure that we remain on a path to deliver our fiscal plans and maintain our country's economic stability and national security. I will remain as Prime Minister until a successor has been chosen. Thank you.
Allied leaders said that they would continue to work with her successor and emphasise the importance of stability. Truss was elected in September to lead the Conservative Party by its members, not the broader electorate, and with support from only about a third of the party's lawmakers. She had promised tax cuts funded by borrowing, deregulation, and a sharp shift to the right on cultural and social issues. It was, if you like, an MMT-type proposition. But within weeks, she was forced to sack a finance minister and closet political ally, Kwasi Kwarteng, and abandoned almost all her economic programme under their plans for vast, unfunded tax cuts. They crushed the pound and sent British borrowing costs and mortgage rates soaring. The approval ratings for her and the political party collapsed. On Wednesday, she lost the second of the government's four most senior ministers, faced laughter as she tried to defend her record to Parliament and saw her lawmakers openly quarrel over policy, deepening the sense of chaos at Westminster. New Finance Minister Jeremy Hunt is now racing to find tens of billions of pounds of savings to try to reassure investors and build Britain's fiscal reputation. With the economy heading into a recession and inflation running at a 40-year high, millions of Britons are struggling with the cost of living crisis. Hunt, who has ruled himself out of the leadership race, is still due to deliver a new budget on October 31st that is likely to cut spending on public services that are already showing clear signs of strain. One senior Conservative lawmaker said Sunak and Mordaunt were willing to keep Hunt as their finance minister. One of the most contentious issues facing the Conservatives is how they elect a new leader after the party's 170,000 members chose Truss over the wishes of its elected lawmakers at Westminster. Groups within the party have battled over the direction of the country since the Brexit vote. In previous contests, the candidates were whittled down to two through a number of lawmaker votes over weeks before the membership selected the winner. Many Conservative lawmakers say that cannot be allowed to happen again. Members can't have a say. We have to sort this out, one lawmaker said. Asked if the party could rebuild its reputation from this point, he said, never in a million years. Organisers said that any candidate would need the backing of 100 lawmakers, and if only one candidate passes that threshold by 2 p.m. on Monday, they would automatically become Prime Minister. If two candidates remain, party members will again get an online vote. Among those expected to run for the role are Sunak, the former Goldman Sachs analyst who became finance minister just as the COVID-19 pandemic arrived in Europe. While he's been proven right in his warnings that Truss's fiscal plan threatened the economy, he remains deeply unpopular with some Conservatives after he helped to trigger the summer rebellion against Johnson. Penny Mordaunt, a popular former defence minister, could also run with other possible hopefuls such as Suella Braverman, the interior minister who quit on Wednesday, and Trade Minister Kemi Brodnjak, unlikely to reach the 100 nominations. But the blonde elephant in the room is Boris Johnson, who still faces an investigation into whether he misled Parliament after he and his staff held a string of parties during COVID-19 lockdowns. But he may also be a candidate. Yet some are arguing he has a mandate still from the last election, despite his conduct in office. The face of the 2016 Brexit campaign has loomed large over politics since he became London Mayor in 2008. He led his party to that landslide victory in 2019, but was driven out of office in July by his colleagues, who were disgusted by his conduct. "I hope you enjoy your holiday, boss. Time to come back," one Conservative lawmaker, James Duttridge, said on Twitter, adding, #BringBackBoris. A poll of party members earlier this week showed most wanted Johnson to return, but betting odds put Sunak as the favourite, ahead of Mordaunt, Defence Minister Ben Wallace and Johnson. Truss will enter the history books as the Prime Minister with the shortest tenure, replacing George Canning, who'd held the role for 119 days when he died in 1827. The main opposition Labour Party and many voters have called for a general election. She's not been voted in, and certainly the policy decisions she made, none of the British people asked for any of those, 50-year-old Kelly Rogers told Reuters outside Downing Street. So it's right and proper she should go. But equally, she's just symbolic of her party's absolute chaos. And now over to the oil markets, where betting positively on China is probably one of the riskier plays in oil these days when the Fed remains a bigger factor. Reports that Beijing was easing on COVID restrictions, reducing the quarantine period for visitors to 7 days from 10, sent crude rallying almost 3% at one point on Thursday, before the market gave a chunk of those gains back by the close on those fresh tremors over hawkish Fed talk. But betting positively on China over COVID has never proven to be a good thing of late. China has a greater tendency to lock down over COVID than to open up, and they've proved it again and again over the past few years. So New York traded West Texas Intermediate crude, the benchmark for US crude, ultimately settled up just 43 cents or 0.5% to $85.98 a barrel after reaching a session high of $87.14 earlier on. And London traded Brent oil, the global benchmark for oil, finished down 3 cents, 0.03% at $92.38 per barrel. And finally, investment banks remain under the microscope, from Credit Suisse to Deutsche Bank. And it appears Deutsche Bank has cut staff in origination and advisory segments of investment banking unit as a pullback in financing deals compels lenders to rein in costs. The move was communicated to the US staff on Wednesday, and it was called an annual exercise to manage the number of bankers without specifying the number of jobs slashed. Investment bankers were awash with deals in 2021, but have seen few this year as companies halt buyouts and listings amid volatility in the capital markets, tensions between the US and China, and the Russia-Ukraine war. The job cuts are likely to affect mostly junior bankers, but a Deutsche Bank spokesperson declined to comment. Last month, Wall Street's premier investment bank, Goldman Sachs, said it planned to cut jobs after pausing the annual practice for 2 years during the COVID-19 pandemic. And we'll soon hear plans from Credit Suisse as to how they're going to cut costs ahead. The move is a setback for Deutsche, whose investment bank in recent years recovered from being its problem child to a strong revenue generator, thanks to a pandemic trading boom and the deal-making frenzy, and of course the massive volatility. Until recently, senior investment bankers had said they wanted to further expand advisory services, and just last year, Germany's largest lender began gingerly hiring new staff at its investment bank. That return to hiring was significant for Deutsche after years of losses, retrenchments and layoffs. But costs have been an ongoing struggle for Deutsche. In July, it dropped its cost target for the full year. This year is crucial for the lender and chief executive Christian Sewing as he tries to deliver on the 2019 targets he set out in a costly overhaul of the bank. And the bank will report third quarter earnings soon, and analysts expect it to report a ninth consecutive quarter of profit, a notable streak after years of losses. But if you stand back, left, right and centre, you can see ongoing issues, massive volatility and uncertainty ahead. And anybody who thinks it's going to calm down soon, I'm afraid you're reading the weather wrong. The outlook is cloudy, maybe with meatballs. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high. Price discovery and price transparency are hard to find. And then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.